Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Russell Brown. Russell has been a business broker and a consultant for many years, where he's been directly or indirectly involved in all aspects of buying, selling, and brokering of hundreds of operating businesses. He's the president of RDS Associates Incorporated and the Business Book Press. He's the author of two books that are outstanding. You've heard me talk about them before. Preparing Your Business for Sale is one book, and the other one is Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business. Russell, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
It's good to have you back with us. And also, folks, I'll mention that Russell, as you've heard me say before many times, is a member of our Brain Trust, and we couldn't do without him. And what we've been doing with Russell is we've been talking about how to value a business. And this, Russ, this is one of the questions that I get asked. Maybe I'm not going to say it's the question I get asked more than any, but it's in the top five questions that I get asked. Is how do I decide what my business is worth, or how do I decide what the business I'm thinking about buying is worth? What approaches do I use? And it's a hard question to answer, isn't it?
It certainly is, because
even for people who know everything about all this,
right? Because it's not a science. It's definitely an art to this. There's a lot of intangible things that come into play when you decide on the process of valuing a business.
Yeah.
And those are some of the things we're going to talk about this morning, see if we can get our arms around that and see if we can get the listeners to get a little bit better feel.
The last time you were with us, we talked about rules of thumb, and if you want to take about a half a minute, and can you tick off some of the rules of thumb for us, Russ?
I can do that. You know, in rules of thumb, are you got to remember, rules of thumb are those are the kinds of things like averages, you know, like the average person. There is no such thing as the average person. You know,
right.
We're all.
You mean like an average family, 2.3 kids?
Yeah, there you go. You know, yet to see a 0.3 kid. And so you're absolutely, that's right. There is no, when you go by a rule of thumb, basically what it is an average of what typical kinds of businesses in that field have sold for. And it gives you a pointer, a direction, and it gives you a sense of are you in the right ballpark or even in the right city.
Right. It helps you decide if this thing is so out of line that you don't even want to spend time on it.
That's right.
And or if the rule of thumb looks good, then it tells you that maybe you want to spend some more time and move into one of the other valuation methods.
Well, what it does is it gives you a sanity check to see where you are.
I like that.
You know? And
that's a good way to word it.
Right, and that's what I tell folks. I said, you know, you've got to, that's what you do, and that's good in some preliminary thoughts about buying a business or selling a business. It's good as a preliminary look at things. But then you've got to get into the real way of looking at the valuation of the business, and those are the kinds of things we're going to talk about now. And keep in mind, though, there is one bottom line fundamental rule to valuing a business, and that is a business is worth only what someone will pay for it at any given point in time.
Mm-hmm. It's the same thing as buying a piece of real estate.
It's that, and it's the same thing as buying any commodity.
Yeah.
It's whatever the customer will pay at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, businesses are worth more in this kind of an economy than they are in a down economy.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's more money available, there's more demand for the businesses, and so any given business will be worth much more today than it would, say, 10 years ago during a recession.
What you're saying is you can take the most brilliant valuation analyst in the world with all the information, and he or she can nail it down analytically and mathematically and nail it down to the cent of what that should be worth on paper, but because of your plans, because of where it is located, because of a lot of other things, it could be worth a little more or a little less to you.
Or a lot more or a lot less.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I've seen situations where businesses have sold for more than the analyst has valued them at, or substantially more,
right?
Because a strategic type of buyer has come along, someone who really needs that business, who really wants that business for other business purposes.
Right. Not to be used necessarily or solely the way it's currently being operated.
That's right.
It makes a homogeneous fit for what they're doing, and it rounds them out and actually leverages what they're currently doing into more than just what the company they're buying would provide them.
That's right. And you know, I advocate so strongly, and so few businesses do this. You know, one of the easiest and best ways of growing your business, if you are already a business owner, the best way of growing your business is to acquire another business.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be exactly the same type of business you're doing. It could be, if you're a producer, it could be the distributor. If you are a manufacturer, it could be another manufacturer.
And the purpose there would be to one of the example of a manufacturer becoming a distributor would be to vertically integrate.
That's right. We have vertical and horizontal integration,
mm-hmm.
and those are fancy words for buying related types of businesses that'll help your business do better.
We try to throw those 50-cent words out from time to time on this show.
That's right.
Let's move over and talk about the asset valuation method.
Well, that's people are pretty familiar with that. That's where you take all of the assets of the company and you put a valuation on it based on the fair market value at that point in time, and add that all up and subtract out the debt of the company that would have to be everything that would have to be paid off, all the liabilities,
mm-hmm.
and the result is your net asset value of the company. Now, this is basically also called a liquidation value,
mm-hmm.
because businesses aren't really sold that way. If there's any profit to the business, if there's a history to the business, then it's going to be worth more than the sum of its assets. And that, by the way, that difference between the sum of its assets and what it's really worth and what we'll sell for is a term called goodwill.
Yeah. Stand by, Russ. And when we come back, folks, we're going to talk about there's a difference between asset valuation and asset purchase. There's a purchase method that's a little bit different from the legal asset purchase method. Stand by. We'll talk about that when we come back. If you have a question, 888-822-8255. We are back. Before after, I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate. Russell Brown, our good friend Russ Brown, has joined us, and he has been with us this hour, and we're talking about how to value a business. Russell is the author of Preparing Your Business for Sale and also another book called Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business. He is one of the experts, folks, in buying and selling businesses. And Russell, tell our audience where they can get your book.
Well, you can get it in most any bookstore. If it's not on the bookstore shelves, you can ask them to order it for you. You can buy it online.
Yeah.
Amazon.com carries it.
Okay.
And I have my own website where you can get a much better deal than you'll get at Amazon, and that's www.businessbookpress.com.
All one word put together, yes. Just like smallbusinessadvocate.com.
Right.
And they can go there and they can order the book, and if they order both of them, you give them a big discount, won't you?
Absolutely.
All right. Russ, when we took the break, I was saying that just because you use an asset purchase valuation method to value the business and to decide what the business is worth, what you'll pay for it, that doesn't mean that you have to purchase it, that you have to purchase it as an asset purchase. And I don't want to get too far afield here. I don't want to get too far afield here because the different ways you purchase a business, the actual legal documents you use, the legal method you use, that's for another topic. But typically, when you buy a business, you buy assets or you buy the stock.
That's right.
And so
if the business is incorporated, there will be corporate stock,
mm-hmm.
and then you're right. When you value the business, if you value it based on its assets, or you do some other valuation method, that has nothing to do with the actual purchase process.
Right.
You can still buy the assets and buy the entire business doing that, or you can buy the corporate stock of the company if it's incorporated, and that's another. It's the other way of buying the business.
I didn't want to go too far afield there. I just wanted to let people know that there was a difference there. And now let's go back to the asset valuation method.
Okay, and let's talk about what some of the assets are. There basically are two classes of assets. You think about all the things that you have that go to make up your business. There's two types, and again, we're going to use some 50-cent words here. They're called tangible assets and intangible assets. Now, tangible assets are things that you can basically touch, feel, smell, you know, hold in your hand.
Or collect.
That's the kind of assets we're talking about there.
Things you can hold, count, and collect.
There you go. And intangible assets are those other things that that you can't hold, count, or collect, but have value. Now, let's go through some examples here. You know, we'll go through the tangible ones first, and I think everybody will see what we're talking about, and then the intangible. So first, under tangible, you know, we have fixtures, you know, all of the furniture, fixtures, and equipment that you might have in your business. FF&E. There's real estate that is associated with the business.
I forgot to mention kick. Hold, count, kick, or collect. Because you can kick the brick, right?
There you go. We have inventory. We got accounts receivable. That's a tangible asset. That's money that's owed to you.
Mm-hmm.
We got various contracts that you have with various customers, mm-hmm. depending on your type of business.
How about just the customer list?
The customer list themselves.
Yeah, the accounts receivable list.
Well, I'm going to say the customer list, I'm going to put that over on the intangible asset.
You consider that to be intangible, okay.
Because even though you could
I agree with
theoretically
you.
Print that out and hold it in your hand,
right?
It's hard to say that's a hard asset.
But the point is a contract with those customers is different from the customer list.
Right.
Because the contract is a binding document that is guaranteed business, so allegedly.
Right. So let's talk. So I think people understand what the tangible assets are. Now,
right.
The intangible assets get a little fuzzier, but let's go through those, and I think you'll get a better feel from this list. We have a trade name. You know, the trade name. A lot of companies might be ABC Corporation, but they're doing business as Joey's Restaurant, let's
mm-hmm.
say. Well, you know, the name Joey's Restaurant might be a very popular name in your area of the country and very valuable.
But if that name is registered, does that not make it a tangible asset?
We generally keep it in the intangible category.
Okay. Stand by, Russ. We've got to take a break. Folks, we're going to continue our discussion on how to value a business when we come back after these messages. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate. Russ Brown is our special guest. If you have a question, 888-822-8255 or a comment. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 33 after. Thank you very much for joining me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, 888-822-8255. If you have a question about a business that you're thinking about buying, or you're thinking about selling one, or you're trying to figure out how to value a business in any question or comment you might like to ask us, James is on the board. He's the best. If you're nice to him, he'll let you talk to us. 888-822-8255. My tongue got off track there, Russ. Russ Brown is our special guest, and we're talking about valuing a business, specifically the asset method of valuing a business, valuing the assets to determine how much a business is worth. And, Russ, when we took the break, we were talking about, I was asking you if a registered trademark or a name that's registered, would that not be one of the tangible assets, and you think it's you consider it to be an intangible?
Yes, I do, and one of the other tests for a tangible asset generally is it something that can be sold separate of the business in the open marketplace.
Right.
So if we go back to the tangible assets, your furniture, fixtures, and equipment generally can be sold to other businesses. It doesn't
right.
matter what kind they are.
Mm-hmm.
The real estate could be sold. The inventory could be sold separately. Your accounts receivable, there are companies who buy accounts receivable from companies and so on. So there's generally that test also. Now, the trade name, generally doesn't, may not have much value outside of the business.
It wouldn't have as much aftermarket value as one of the other things that you mentioned, but it would have some, perhaps, but maybe nothing, or certainly not as much. But now, what about a license or a patent?
Well, again, those are considered to be intangible assets.
All right.
Because they may, in fact, be associated with the business itself. Now, I know I can get some argument from folks out there as to what column you want to put patents and licenses in, especially the issue of patents,
mm-hmm.
because patents generally have value by themselves,
mm-hmm.
but it's kind of hard usually. Generally, patents, people think of patents as a patent for maybe a stapler or a telephone or, you know, a commodity like that. But in general, you know, most patents, the vast majority of patents, are for piece parts that go into these
yes.
kinds of things,
mm-hmm.
not for the whole product.
Right.
And so what value is it for a piece part of something unless it's applied within that, a specific company?
Right.
There's no set rule on where you put your tangible or intangible assets. And sure, if you feel strongly that a patent is a tangible asset, fine, put it on the tangible asset.
And it just goes back to what you said earlier in the hour, and that is if that is a very important component of this purchase for you, then of course the seller is going to want to put these things more over on the tangible side, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Because typically more value is attributed to the tangible assets than the intangible assets.
Well, and of course the buyer wants them on the tangible side as well, because tangible assets tend to be depreciable,
right?
Where intangible assets are not,
mm-hmm.
in general.
Right.
All right, so let's keep going down the list here, and there's another one they call a covenant not to compete, which is an intangible asset. And you're going to attribute some value of the purchase of the business to this covenant not to compete that you get from the seller.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an extremely important asset that you acquire when you buy a business.
Now, up to now, the things that we've talked about are things that typically have already, that were already on the balance sheet of the business or were already part of that business. But this thing that Russ is talking about now actually doesn't exist until you close.
That's right.
It goes on your new balance sheet. If you're the buyer, right, Russ?
Absolutely. That's generally not there unless the business had recently changed hands before,
mm-hmm.
And there's already an existing one. But most of the time, that isn't the case. So you're going to want to, when you buy a business, you're going to want that seller to agree not to open a competing business anywhere within your market area. For a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the key legal test on that will be a reasonable period of time. And that's different from state to state. But generally, it's anywhere within a market area for 3 years is proven to be a reasonable covenant.
But it could be a year, could be 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Whatever you can negotiate.
But the courts have deemed that the time and the geography have to be reasonable.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because you can't legislate or rule away a person's right to make an income.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right, and then as we move down the list, we've got customer list, which we talked about earlier. Is it on the tangible or intangible asset side? And I tend to put it on the intangible assets because it by itself has no real value. If you were to take that out in the marketplace frequently, it's difficult to sell it because these are specialized customers unique to your kind of business. So we tend to put it on the intangible asset side.
Other than to the degree that they're bound to you by contract, customers can leave you at any minute.
That's right. And here's another one that, again, could get some argument, but it's between intangible and tangible, is customized tooling and dies, if you have any kind of a manufacturing business.
Mm-hmm. Some kind of proprietary device or system.
Right.
Yeah. Stand by, Russ. We've got to take a break. Folks, 39 after the hour. When we come back, we're going to get Russ to wrap all this up into to help us understand how to place a value on all these tangible and intangible assets. 888-822-8255. We're back. It's 44 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. 888-822-8255 is our phone number if you'd like to join me and my friend Russ Brown, our special guest this hour. And or if you'd like to check me out on the website, on the Internet, it's www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And when you go there, you click on the Brain Trust section, you'll find Russ Brown's bio there. His name and his bio links back to his website, which is, go ahead, Russ, give it to us again.
It's www.businessbookpress.com.
Now, when you go there to that website, you can buy any of Russ's books, which includes Preparing Your Business for Sale and Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business, a lot of other things. I know you publish books as well, Russ, and also if someone wanted to talk to you about buying or selling a business, about helping them value a business, they can email you or call you from the number that's there on your site and get in touch with you, can't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be glad to speak with anybody about it. And I have my number there, as you say, right on the website. And by the way, I've got a feature called Ask the Expert.
Mm-hmm.
It's proven to be very popular. And you can, if you have a question that's bothering you about buying, selling a business, or starting or improving a business, you just send the question in, and we have a panel of various experts who will refer the question to, and they'll answer it right online for you and notify you when it's there.
Works like a charm.
We even have an expert by the name of Jim Blassingame.
Where'd you find a guy like that?
I don't know.
What kind of name is that anyway? Hey, Russ, you give us a couple more intangibles or whatever you've got left on the intangibles, and then let's talk about what would create the circumstance where you would use the asset valuation method.
Okay. Well, let's kind of finish up what I think are intangible assets.
All right.
And copyrights is another one. Again, that's something that you can't technically hold in your hand. You do get a copyright from the copyright office,
mm-hmm.
but it's not something that has separate physical value. And then we have leasehold interests. These are things that you've done. If you're leasing space and you've fixed up the space, you've added walls and light fixtures and all of those kinds of things that. And in case of restaurants, you may have put in ovens and things of that nature. So there's,
mm-hmm.
there's quite a bit that you've done, but they're going to revert back to the owner of the property when you leave.
Because they're fixed, you can't take them with you.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then another sort of a broad category called proprietary information. You know, every company has proprietary information, every business. I mean, that's what you've developed and come up with as a way of doing business. How you find new customers, how you keep the customers that you have, how you introduce new products, how you introduce a new service, things of that nature. That's generally proprietary information that go to make up the heart and soul of your company. And you kind of lump that all together. That's not something you take and peddle out on the open market.
Mm-hmm.
It goes with the sale of the business, and it's classified as an intangible asset.
The main thing the reason we're pointing these things out to you folks is because these are all things that make up and any business may have all of these, or they may only have one or two of these intangibles, but they make up what contributes to the value of the company.
That's right. And as you said, there are, you know, there's several ways to value a business, and we talked about the rules of thumb method, which is just a gross method to get into the right ballpark. And then that's basically the three other kinds of ways of valuing the business is the asset valuation, which we're covering now. And then later, I guess in another show, we're not going to have more time today, but we'll get into the other types of other ways of valuing a business based on income.
Right.
And there's two principal ones there.
What would be the circumstance? What would be circumstances that would cause you to use the asset method of mass asset valuation method, and that method would be what would be used to buy the business?
Well, if you're going strictly on valuing the tangible assets to sell the business, it's generally when the business is not profitable, not doing well. But needs to be sold for whatever
mm-hmm.
reason. You've got to get out of it. You've run out of capital, or the owner is deceased, or whatever. And then what happens is you go in and you sell off the piece parts of the business for as much money as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically selling the assets of the business. And so you'll offer the furniture, fixtures, and equipment on the market, any of the real estate, perhaps separately, the inventory, and so on. And then you, if there are valuable patents, you try to sell those, you know, maybe not to the same buyers, of course, but to someone else, and so on and so forth. And maybe the trade name in itself which is an intangible asset, may have some value to somebody.
How do you place a value on these intangibles? Obviously, the inventory has a value, a dollar value. The accounts receivable has a dollar value. You know, the hard assets, the tangible assets, have dollar values typically. How do you place a value on the intangibles?
Very difficult. Absolutely difficult.
Yeah.
These are the kinds of things that... that you're just going to have to shop around and perhaps even auction.
And find out how it may have to do more with what those things are valued to you in your particular situation as the buyer.
Right.
Stand by, Russ. We're going to take a break. Folks, it's 50 after. We'll be right back with Russ Brown. Stay with us. After, thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And coming up in the next hour, Ken Lebo is going to be joining us. And Ken is one of our Internet experts. And he's got quite a few different things that he wants to tell us about what's new on the Internet. Not only from the standpoint, he's the guy that wrote the book, 300 Incredible Things to Do on the Internet, and a whole bunch of other follow-up books, which I'll mention to you. But Ken's got some things to talk about today on the evolution of the Internet and your involvement in that. And I'm looking forward to having him back with us. Right now, though, we're visiting with our good friend Russ Brown. Russ is the author of Preparing Your Business for Sale and also another book called Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business. They're available from in bookstores and online. They're also available from his website, which is businessbookpress.com. And Russ, let's wrap up the hour by helping us with understanding more about the asset method of valuing a business.
Well, again, the asset method tends to be a method that is used only in a last resort situation. We were talking about that just before the break. That's the kind of that's the process basically where you put a value on those things that you can get a value on fairly easily, those tangible assets, and then do the best you can, so to speak, to sell the intangible things that probably have little or no value outside of the business itself, and you won't get very much for them.
But, you know, you could own a business that might not be doing all that well that has inventory that a purchaser could buy anywhere else. You may not have a building or a location that's all that much strategic to anybody else, but you may have a 40-year customer list that a competitor coming in from out of town wanting to have a presence in your market might pay the whole ball of wax just to get that customer list.
Oh, yeah, and we see that many times. Yeah,
so,
it's surprising to when you start to look into a lot of businesses to see how much businesses actually spend to develop a customer.
Oh, yeah.
A repeat customer. And I'm not talking a few bucks here. I mean, some of them...
Could be millions.
Spend huge sums of money to develop per customer. And it's amazing. Some people, like you say, they may have a list of 10,000 customers.
So don't minimize the intangible part of this equation. Let me ask you another question, Russ. All right, now I know that you consider this the asset method to be the method of last resort. But if let's say we've got a business that's profitable and everything is looking pretty good and the guy wants to sell and we got a buyer, wouldn't you want to go back and at least do an asset method approach as well as one of the other approaches, just to sort of compare the two or three?
Well, what you need to do, you definitely need to do that because you're going to need to determine which are depreciable assets and which are non-depreciable.
Yeah.
And you're going to need to allocate things out. So even though you use another method, which we'll talk about next time, which
either
is
income or market comparison or something
right,
like that.
An income-based approach to this, let's say, and we come up with, say, a value on the business of, let's say, $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can go back and you can take all the tangible assets, look at their fair market value, and it adds up to $300,000, let's say. That's what you could get on the open market. Then what? Then you can then take the $200,000 and say, this then is the collective value of all of the intangible assets,
right.
$200,000. And that's the term where a term comes in here called goodwill.
Yeah, or blue sky.
Or blue sky, that's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
And that's really what you do. And so you do ultimately end up allocating value between the assets, the tangible and intangible assets, even in a corporate stock sale.
Russ,
or a sale based on income.
We got to wrap it up. Thank you very much. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Okay, Jim.
Have a good one. You did a good job today. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Got to go, folks. For this hour, before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blassingham, Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.